Hi there. I'm Joe Burgoyne, host for Options Talk with OIC. You know, options can be a complex product, but we hope today's show will help take away some of the mystique about it. The Options Industry Council was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars and webcasts. Today's show is going to be very interesting as we continue last week's discussion about volatility. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and option transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. Back again with me this week is Peter Lusk of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. Welcome back, Peter.
Thanks, Joe, for having me back.
I'm happy to pick up our conversation that we started last week regarding implied volatility and really how some of the positions change when volatility moves.
Absolutely. You know, and I want to talk about new option traders. Their whole thing seems to be, if I think the market's going higher or the underlying is going to go higher, I'm going to go ahead and buy a call. And if they think the underlying is going to go lower, they decide to buy a put. You know, that's all fine and grand to get into this whole deal, but what I like to see is option traders start to get involved with spreads, because what spreads are all about is actually buying one option and selling another option.
Fantastic advice.
Now, last week we talked about vega, and vega is the change in an option's theoretical value for every 1 point change in volatility. And we also talked about when I buy an option, I'm buying volatility, or I'm long vega, I'm buying vega. Okay, but guess what? When I sell an option, I'm short volatility, or I'm short vega. So if I put on a spread, which means, let's talk about a bull call spread. If I buy one call and sell another call higher up, same stock, but different strike prices, I've got this forecast that the market's going to go higher, but I'm also spreading off my risk of volatility.
Explain to me a little bit, you know, which option has more vega?
Okay. The option closer to the money is going to have more vega, the option closer to at the money. Let's just do this. Let's just say I bought a 60 strike call at the money.
Okay.
And I'm selling a 65 strike call, which is out of the money.
Suggesting that you may be somewhat bullish on the underlying.
Correct.
All right.
So my vega on the 60 strike call, just for example purposes, let's say that's going to be a 5, which means if the volatility goes up a tick, I can theoretically assume that that option is going to increase in value by a nickel. Now, the option that I sold, which is a 65 strike call, let's say that vega is a 3, which means if the volatility goes higher, I can assume that that option is going to increase in value by 3 cents, theoretically. But what I've done now is I've spread off my risk of volatility from a nickel to 2 cents. I was a long a nickel volatility. Let me just rephrase that. I was long 5 cents vega on the option that I bought, and I'm short 3 cents vega on the option that I sold. So as we talk about positions and volatility, you're spreading off your risk of this volatility component when you get yourself involved in spread trading.
Good point. Let me ask you this. That's two options in the same expiration month.
Correct.
Talk to me a little bit about an option, you know, in one expiration month and then the other option a different expiration month. What would you call that? And, you know, what is the volatility component of a spread like that?
Okay, we would talk about that being a diagonal spread, correct?
Okay, diagonal. Explain a little more clearly for me.
Okay, if I'm going to go ahead and purchase an option in a front month and sell an option in a farther out month with a different strike price, I'm also spreading off that risk of volatility again, aren't I?
Yes, but as we go further out in time, I thought we had more vega in the options that were further out in time.
Yes, that's correct.
But if they're further out of the money, then potentially that at-the-money call that were long may have more vega. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. So it's really just, it's an aspect of an investment or, you know, trade that investors really have to be aware of, this whole volatility component.
Yeah. I mean, my whole advice would be don't even put a trade on unless you understand volatility and time decay. If you have me back another time, we'll talk about time decay. But those two Greek components are so, so important.
I think we talked about this a little bit last week. Where do you find that all-important implied volatility information for options?
That would be on any good trading platform as well as your site, the OIC, which is a wonderful, wonderful site.
Okay. Well, thank you. Let's move a little bit into maybe a more macroeconomic conversation. You know, when world events occur, the credit crisis of 08-09, talk to me a little bit about how implied volatility is impacted, you know, with world events.
Well, world events really present themselves as, you know, uncertain times. And we certainly had some uncertain times last, November of 2008. Very uncertain times. And the market kind of bottomed out in March of 2009. But to put volatility in perspective, the volatility component in the marketplace, the entire marketplace was double in November 2008 as it was in, post 9/11, the Monday that you and I went back to the trading floor post 9/11. The market was twice as volatile in November of 2008 as it was post 9/11. Just to put things in perspective.
That is quite staggering because, you know, the September 01 period, the markets were historically volatile at that point, and the 08 period was twice as volatile as that.
Incredible. You know, the housing crisis that you talked about, and people seem to forget that there was a war going on.
Well, now, how did that impact? I mean, volatility's higher. Did that mean both the calls and the puts were higher in the marketplace?
Yep. Joe, I'm glad you brought that up because when vol goes higher, both call and put premiums also go higher. When it goes lower, quite the contrary, call and put premiums go lower.
And why is that?
There's this uncertain factor, you know, and there's panic. And panic, you know, raises this whole volatility component as well.
Okay. How does an investor use that higher implied volatility in, you know, different strategies? You know, how can they benefit from a higher or even a lower implied volatility, but let's start, you know, a higher volatility.
Okay, let's talk about a professional market maker on the floor of the CBOE. This is a true story. A good friend of mine was selling options at $4. The underlying wasn't even moving. Brokers were coming into the pit. We'll pay $4.50. Sold. He'll sell you more. He's selling these options up to $6, $7, $8 over this two-week period of time with the underlying not doing a whole heck of a lot.
And was there any news in the marketplace?
Just the existing financial crisis that was going on with the, in our country with the mortgage crisis.
Oh, okay. So that was not specific to that company or stock. It had to do with the macro.
Exactly. But the stock is reacting in sympathy with the entire uncertainties going on in the world. So this guy was actually looking at the historical volatility, which we talked about last week. Okay. And historical volatility is really something because history can repeat itself. But history is not always a guarantee, and it's not a guarantee in this options business as well. So what this guy was doing, he's like, look, I've never seen this volatility this high ever on this stock. Now I'm, historically, this implied volatility was 40. I'm selling 70 volatility. Bring it in. Let's go. Well, guess what happened? All of a sudden, the market got worse. This poor guy got crushed. The market went down further. If he's short puts, he's short volatility. Volatility went higher. Put premiums, like you said, Joe, a little bit a while ago, went higher as well. This guy lost, we don't know him, we're not mentioning any names, he lost $1.3 million in 1 month.
Well, that's a sad story, Peter, but it going back to where you started this week's conversation, you talked about spreads. You know, here's, unfortunately, this professional guy down on the floor trading this high level of implied volatility. Had he maybe taken the approach that you were suggesting for investors earlier about that spread, sell one, buy one, you know, it may have been a whole different story.
Yeah, I think he was just playing the volatility play, sold, sold, sold. And, you know, I used to train market makers for our firm, and I'll tell you what, I had an old saying, when you buy something, you got to sell something. And there, in effect, you are doing a spread.
That's a critically important, element for investors to be aware of. And as you're pointing out succinctly, there doesn't have to be specific information on a particular company. It can be a macro event that can affect dramatically the prices on that individual, stock option.
You're exactly right, Joe.
Any other thoughts in terms of how, assisting investors, to manage their implied volatility come to mind, Peter?
Well, I think you guys have a great tool on your website, the Options Investigator. Is that right?
We do indeed.
Yeah, and you can put in all the different components. Matter of fact, you can put in that implied volatility, which is the price of the option, and strike price and stock price, all these other components, and you will get what the volatility is on that particular option. And that's good to know. And you can play around with the different components, the days to expiration, and see what that thing's going to look like, what that price is going to look like.
Am I right in saying that, that volatility aspect in the pricing model is the key component?
One of the major key components, correct.
And again, that relationship between historic and implied volatility is something that investors should be keenly aware of, before they really get into an options transaction.
Exactly. And you know what? One other comment here is that a lot of times option investors make the mistake of getting into a stock and trading options on a stock that everybody trades. There's a lot of stocks out there to trade options on. My whole thing is this, and Joe, you can relate. When we were in the pits, we were trading 16 to 20 stocks. And after many, many years, you become very intimate with those stocks. So as a new options investor, yeah, you want to get to know what the volatility is and all these components and things, but get to know three or four stocks intimately well. And then you really don't need to look up all this stuff. You got it all in your head. You know those stocks like your kid.
I could not agree more. You are hitting a sweet spot there.
That's because you're a market maker of like 25 years yourself.
Well, that is just such great advice for an investor. Concentrate on a handful of stocks. Get to know them cold. And whether it's historic volatility, implied volatility, just go to the bank with that knowledge.
Done.
Well, Peter, I think we've had a couple really dynamite conversations about volatility. I appreciate you coming back. And as we progress through the series, we look forward to having you back again.
I hope so, Joe. Thank you so much.
If you have some more questions about volatility or any options-related questions, call our help desk at 1-888-OPTIONS or log on to our website at www.optionseducation.org. There are a lot of resources and tools on our site that will help you to better understand options. We would love to hear your feedback on the show, so email me at options@theocc.com. I hope you will join us next time. Thanks for listening, and remember, a little options education goes a long way.